Take hold. Engage. You are now entering the Cerebro Podcast. Thought of the day comes from short story scripter and social satirist O. Henry. The true adventurer goes forth aimlessly and uncalculating to meet and greet unknown fate. Joke of the day. What can the O in O. Henry symbolize? Answer. The twists and turns in the lives of ordinary people that still end up coming full circle. Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Cerebro Podcast. This is the 10th episode. In the last episode, 2 weeks ago, I talked about the power of existence. I also talked about the power of cognitive dissonance and belief perseverance. It was William Shakespeare who came up with the perennial favorite quote, "To be or not to be," in Hamlet. He also used dramatic irony in many of his other plays. While I appreciated Hamlet and the other works of Shakespeare, my earliest literary influence was O. Henry. O. Henry was the pen name of William Sidney Porter, who was born in 1862 and died in 1910 in New York City. In his late teens, he became a licensed pharmacist. He also had jobs as a draftsman and a bank teller in Texas. He later served 3 years in prison for embezzlement. His daughter was never told about his prison time, but instead it was explained that he was away on business. He wrote hundreds of short stories that were known for their twisted or surprise endings. Many of his ideas for short stories came from talking to and observing people in hotel lobbies. One of the reasons why I appreciated O. Henry so much was because the situational story solution was planted in the powerful prose previously provided. Here is a short introduction.
William Sidney Porter, Greensboro, North Carolina, claimed him. Austin, Texas, jailed him. And New York City welcomed him with open arms. It was while Porter was in the penitentiary in Texas that he borrowed his pen name, O. Henry, from a guard there named Orrin Henry. And soon he made that name one of the most famous in America. After the penitentiary, O. Henry moved to New York, where he lived and he wrote and he died. At 48, with TB, when he was dying, his last words were, "Pull up the shade so I can see New York. I don't want to go home in the dark."
Here are a few plot twists of O. Henry's stories. The Gift of the Magi was about a young couple, Jim and Delia, who loved each other profoundly. They each devised separate plans, despite their financial hardships, to sell valuable possessions so they could buy each other Christmas gifts. Jim sold his watch so he could buy his wife jewelry for her beautiful hair. Della sold her hair to buy a chain for Jim's watch. The second story is The Ransom of Red Chief. It was a story about two men who kidnapped a 10-year-old boy. The boy turned out to be so bratty and difficult that the two men changed their minds and paid the boy's father $250 to take him back. My favorite O. Henry story was A Retrieved Reformation, which was a story about Jimmy Valentine, a released prisoner with a talent for safecracking. He went to a bank with a plan to rob it, but fell in love with the banker's daughter instead. He decided to give up his criminal career. He also changed his name to Ralph Spencer and decided to become a shoemaker. One day, a lawman recognized him, but soon after, a young child got locked in an airtight vault at the bank. Knowing that it would seal his fate, Jimmy Valentine showed off his safe-cracking skills to rescue the child. The twist was the lawman then denied recognizing him and let him go on with the rest of his life. In seventh grade in 1986, after being inspired by O. Henry, I wrote a short story about a newspaper reporter who was covering a story in a hotel. The reporter later became a suspect in a murder in his hotel room after a fight between a husband and his wife. My ironic twist was that the reporter had to use his investigative training to prove his own innocence.
All those years he was writing, O. Henry had studied irony, that little twist of fate that can change someone's life so completely. He used it as a literary device and put a little twist at the end of every one of his stories, so that his reading public came to expect that little twist, that one word that would change the whole meaning.
As a literary device, irony is a contrast or mismatch between expectations for a situation and its eventual reality. This can be the difference between the surface meaning of something that is said and the underlying meaning of it. It also can be the difference between what might be expected to happen and what actually happens. For me, having crutches has always been ironic. They have frequently been viewed as a sign or a signal of my weakness by strangers, even friends and family. But ironically, my crutches are tools that I use to navigate the world. As a kid, I frequently wanted to escape them because of the social pressure that came along with them. I frequently threw them, broke them, and wanted to live without them because I felt like less of a person and even more of a target. What I struggled to understand was how my crutches helped me to eventually build even more character. One of the key differences for me was when I realized that I didn't have to prove myself, but all I had to do was improve myself. Another irony about crutches that many people don't understand was that sometimes they carry me and other times I carry them. My crutches are an extension of me now and not a weakness. Unless I trip or lose my balance in some way, I don't even think about my crutches because I've been using them for over 40 years. For my parents, the devices or crutches in my case reminded them of the trauma they went through. For example, a few years ago, my dad wanted to take a picture around Christmas time in Florida. He tried to physically take my crutches away because he didn't want them in the picture. This was while I was still using them. For the first time in my life, I realized how uncomfortable he still was with me using my crutches. Despite all my success and independence, he still didn't appreciate the use of my crutches. Even to this day, he doesn't like talking about my crutches. Growing up, I didn't realize that there aren't many pictures of my crutches. It saddens me that he cannot or does not want to see my crutches as powerful tools. I don't get emotional about it anymore. which is ironic because I came up with a word that puts crutches and irony together. Crutches plus irony equals cryerny. How is that for a plot twist? What irony or twists can you think about around disability or weakness? What irony exists in your life? What tool can you powerfully twist? I hope you enjoyed the 10th episode. Thank you for allowing me to be a voice inside your head. I would love to hear your thoughts. Please share the podcast with someone you know. Also, please rate and review the show. You can listen to the show on Podbean, iTunes, and Google Play. The Cerebral Podcast is also now on Spotify. Thank you to all the listeners who support the show, Facebook group. You can also email the show at thecerebralpodcast@gmail.com to send questions, comments, and ideas for the show. You can also follow the show's Twitter at the hashtag #TheCerebralPodcast. And remember, it takes effort to be vulnerable, be accountable, and be respectful in the way you treat others and yourself. You can be the biggest variable in your life when you take ownership. Now, take hold, engage in your world. You are now leaving the Cerebral Podcast.